Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry that's here to encourage and inspire you every day. And today, we're continuing our series called Awesome Relationships. In it, Rick Warren shares practical ways to help you take your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from ordinary to extraordinary. And this is a series you don't want to miss. Let's get right to Rick for part one of a message called Fighting for an Awesome Family.
I choose this word intentionally, fighting, because families are not awesome by accident. They're average. And you have to fight for your family if you want it to be a great family, because there are all kinds of forces working against your family in our society. Now, I'm not going to spend a minute detailing those. I don't want to make a laundry list or a litany of all of the things that are working against the family today, but there are economic forces, there are spiritual forces, there are moral forces, there are cultural and social forces that want to destroy the idea of family and specifically your family. What I'm much more interested in is looking at the positive side, and that is, how do you fight for an awesome family? You know, when the families of Jerusalem were under attack thousands of years ago, the leader, Nehemiah, said this. He said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is awesome." Everything's awesome, including God. And we're looking at awesome relationships. Remember the Lord who is awesome and fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, fight for your homes. He's saying your family is worth fighting for. Don't just give up and say, well, it can't change. It can't be any different. It's too late. It's not too late. No matter where you are on the continuum of family, starting out or at the end or helping a new family develop, no matter where you are, it's not too late to fight to make your family better. Now, what I want to share with you today is not just from God's word, but from 40 years of counseling families. And I have discovered after talking to thousands and thousands of families that you can find four common traits in families that are really awesome. And we're going to look at those today. And in order to help you remember these four traits of an awesome family, whether you're a brother or a sister in a family, or you're a mother or father, or you're a child or whatever you are, these are four things that make an awesome family. And the first symbol of an awesome family is this board game called Candyland. Okay. How many of you remember the board game Candyland? How many of you played this game, Candyland? How many of you wish you never have to play it again? All the hands of preschool moms just went up just now. This doesn't require a whole lot of intelligence to play this game. In fact, it says ages 3 years and up. It's a pure game of chance. But why does the game Candyland represent awesome families? Here's the first reason. Write it down. Awesome families are playful. It's the first common denominator of great families. They know how to play. They know how to have fun. They enjoy life together. This is a missing ingredient in so many families today. Today, our families are too busy, too tired, too negative, too worn out, and too serious. Who wants to come home from school to that? Families should be fun. The average family is all work and no play. It's just getting us to the next appointment. Awesome families are fun. Awesome families are playful. Now, at Blocktober, you know, we had tens of thousands of kids here at the Lake Forest campus. So I decided to do a little kid on the street interviews. And today I'm going to share with you some of the results. And one of the questions I asked kids was, What fun things does your family like to do together? And watch these answers.
I like to spend time with them and go swimming.
I just like to play with my family.
Go to parties and try at fun places.
I like to go to Legoland and ride train.
Play soccer, go to the beach.
Make jokes? Yeah.
I like to help my mom cook.
Go to the skate park.
Oh, play tennis.
I like to go bike riding and surfing.
We sometimes make cookies.
Play tag.
I like to do crafts.
We like to go to Disneyland.
Go to Disneyland.
Go
to Disneyland.
Go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Open presents with my family at my birthday and Christmas.
Go to church.
And we have family dinners and family Bible study too.
Sometimes I like to go bowling and go here.
Bowling and what?
Go to Saddleback Church.
And Saddleback Church. Oh, sure. Of course. That kid's going to be a pastor. That's my new intern, little Pastor Rick, right there. Now, the fact is, your family is not a boot camp, and parents are not drill sergeants. And your family is not a business, and parents are not CEOs. And your family is not a laboratory experiment, and your parents are not research scientists experimenting, go, let's add a little of this, a little of this. We're going to make the perfect little child. There is no perfect child, and there is no perfect family. And there is no science to being a family. It's an art. It's an art. But the Bible has a lot to say about it. And one of the things that I say is that families are supposed to be fun. Most people know that the Bible teaches we're supposed to work. And the Bible tells us that we're to work hard. And the Bible says that if we're lazy, we shouldn't even eat. Work is an important part of your life. But most people don't know that the Bible says that play is an important part of your life. And play is essential to adults, not just to children. In fact, play is connected to creativity. The more play you have in life, the more creative you're going to be. If you don't have anything play, any fun in your life, you're not a very creative person. All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. And so you need to have fun in your life. And the Bible talks about this and actually commands it. Let me show you some scriptures. This first section is from Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived. God said, what do you want? He said, I want to be the wisest man who ever lived. God said, I'll answer that request. So let's look at some verses. Ecclesiastes 8:15, Solomon says, I commend the enjoyment of life. Circle the word enjoyment. As I said, we know that play is extremely important to development. In fact, we've known for years that play is essential to preschoolers. For preschoolers, play is work. They're actually developing when they play. And recess is not a waste of time. Kids are developing as much at recess as they are sitting down with a book open or things like that. Paul says, up here on the screen, look at this verse, 1 Timothy 6:17. God generously gives us everything for our what? Did you realize that everything in the world God created, he created for you to enjoy? Now listen, God wants life to be enjoyed, not merely endured. And a lot of you are simply enduring life. God wants you to enjoy life. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon says, I commend the enjoyment of life. God says, everything I created is for enjoyment. If you're too busy to enjoy life, you're too busy. God meant for you to play and to have some fun. Ecclesiastes 11:7, people ought to enjoy every day, not just on a weekend, not just vacation, ought to enjoy every day of their lives, no matter how long they live. Now, why is that important that you enjoy every day? Because you don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know if you've got next week, next month. You don't know if you've got tomorrow. You don't know if you've got tonight. So whatever living you're going to do, you better do it now, not say, well, I'm going to enjoy life in retirement. No, you need to enjoy life now. And if you have children, you need to be enjoying life with the children because the kids aren't going to be at home forever. When my kids were growing up, I determined that the number one thing I wanted them to know about our family was not that we were godly, it was not that we were smart, it was not, you know, whatever thing, but that they were loved and that we had fun together. And I created all kinds of things just to have fun that weren't very expensive. One of them was called Daddy's Magical Mystery Tour. And the kids loved it, and it's a hallowed reputation in our family. I now do it with the grandkids. In Daddy's Magical Mystery Tour, I'd take my kids when they were young, they're all in preschool or grade school, and they get in their pajamas, they go to bed at 7 o'clock. And long about 11 o'clock or midnight, I'd go in and wake them all up. Get out of bed. Get out of bed right now. It's time for Daddy's Magical Mystery Tour. And they go, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It means this. A, we're not going to school tomorrow. And B, we're about to have something really, really fun. Now, it could be something expensive, like one time I woke them all up. We didn't have a pool. We didn't have a hot tub or a jacuzzi. And so I woke them all up one time about midnight. We put them in the car in their pajamas, drove down to Carlsbad, checked into a hotel that had a master bedroom with a giant, giant bathtub. We filled it with water and a bunch of bubbles, all jumped in our swimming suits, grabbed a bunch of junk food, and had a party at 1 o'clock in the morning with first graders and third graders. And I was, now, they all didn't have to be that expensive. Sometimes I'd wake them up in the middle of the night and say, we're gonna go make a 15-cent ice cream run at Thrifty's. And Kay was going, you can't do that. She was the rule keeper, I was the funmeister. And by the way, you need both in a marriage. So if you watched last week's message, you know what we're talking about. But we had so much fun. Now I want you to write this sentence down, and it applies to you whether you're a parent or not, whether you ever get married or not. Here's an important thing in life. People don't remember what you say, but they will remember how you made them feel. That's important advice for a boss, for an employer, for a husband, for a boyfriend, for a girlfriend, for a parent, for a husband or wife. People will not remember what you say. They will remember how you made them feel. My kids don't remember anything of what I said in the early years of their lives, but they do remember how Daddy made them feel. Awesome families are playful. They're Candyland families. They have a lot of fun. Now, Solomon gets very specific about the kind of fun you're supposed to have in a family. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9, he says this, enjoy life with your wife. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. Dads, if you're a dad here today, the greatest gift you can give your children is to love their mom, to have fun and enjoy life with their mom. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. You see, when a father shows love for the mother of the kids, it creates great stability. It creates great security. It creates great peace in the heart of little children. And when I hear couples saying, well, you know, we really can't afford or can't have time to go out because of the kids, serious mistake. Serious mistake. Your kids need to see you loving each other because you are the first and greatest model of relationships. And if they see parents just passing in the night and working and working and working, but no real relationship, that's what they're gonna grow up thinking marriage is all about. Love your wife, enjoy life with your wife. The Bible says in Psalm 127, children are a gift from God. They are a gift from God. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes they're a gift you'd like to exchange. Okay, but they are a gift, okay? They are a gift. And what is a gift? A gift is given and it's meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying your kids or are they just your pet project? You're gonna grow up right and it's all serious and you're not enjoying the gift that God gave you. Psalm 8:15. This one's gonna blow your mind. Look at this verse on the screen. You should write this one down. It says, I recommend having fun. Did you know that verse is in the Bible? The wisest man who ever lived said, I recommend having fun. And that way, you'll experience some happiness along all the hard work that God gives you. Now, you know, I asked the producers of these little kid on the street interviews to give a lot of variety of answers. And I said, don't all put the same. Because honestly, I was stunned, I was shocked, I was amazed at how when I asked, what's the number one thing you like to do with your family? I got the same answer over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And it shocked me in an age of technology and an age of all these different entertainment places. The number one answer was not go to Disneyland or go to an amusement park. The number one answer that kids said, when you like to do something with your family, what's the number one thing you like to do? It was over and over, play board games. The number one answer. It wasn't play video games. You would have thought that. It was play board games. Why? Because video games are one-on-one personal game. Board games, you actually interact with adults. And that's why they said you like it. We're sitting around the table. My mom and dad are there, and we're playing board games together. The number two answer, what do you love to do with your aunts, with your kids, with your family most? Number two answer was go to a park. Go to a park? How old-fashioned can you get? They said, what do you do at a park? We throw frisbee, we play catch, we play tag, we lay around, we talk, we have a picnic. And the number three answer, you'd figure this in Orange County, go to the beach. In all three answers, what was the common denominator? Time with parents. It wasn't Disneyland, it was time with parents. You see, I talk to guys all the time, says, I don't get it. Successful businessman, I don't get it. I buy my wife and kids all these trinkets and things, and I give them everything they need. What do they want? I'll tell you what they want. They want you. They want your attention. They want your focus. They want your eyes. They want your time. You spell love, T-I-M-E. The greatest gift you can give your kids is your time, because when you give them your time, you're giving your life. You don't always buy things. Kids don't need things. They need time. They need fun with the family. They need fun in the home. They need it to not be a boot camp or something we're just all working on. They want time with you. And so Candyland is the symbol of an awesome family, because awesome families are playful. Now, the second symbol of an awesome family is a watering can. A watering can, because we use this to water flowers, plants, you know, vegetables. And in many ways, a family is like a garden. You have to grow it. You have to develop it. You have to cultivate it. A garden doesn't grow on its own. You have to weed it. You have to water it. You have to care for it. And this is the second characteristic of awesome families that makes them different from average families. Write this down. Awesome families encourage growth. They create an atmosphere of lifelong learning. They help each other develop. They encourage the discovery of each person in the family's shape, S-H-A-P-E. And one of the things that you do in an awesome family is you support each other. And I'm not just talking about the kids growing up. I'm saying that you're always growing. Your family never stops growing. Mom never stops growing. Everybody encourages mom to grow. Dad never stops growing. Everybody encourages dad to grow. Brother, sister, everybody encourages everybody to keep growing. If you're not growing, your family is boring. You're just stuck in a rut. You haven't learned anything new, developed any new interest in a long time. Your family's boring. Now look at how Jesus grew. The Bible tells us in Luke 2:52, this is when Jesus was 12 years old. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and favor with men. Now notice, there are four kinds of growth you want to have in your family. You grow in wisdom, that's intellectual growth, mental growth. You grow in stature, that's physical health. You grow in favor with God, that's spiritual growth. And you grow in favor with man, that's social growth. Every person in your family needs to be growing in all four of these, not just the kids, but you, mom, you, dad, you, brother, you, sister, you need to be growing physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially. How are you going to be different a year from today? Do you know any more than you knew a year ago? Are you closer to God than you were a year ago? Are you more loving than you were a year ago? Are you literally growing? Awesome families encourage growth. Average families just stay the same. Nobody changes. Nobody grows. Now, I asked the kids, what have you learned in your family? And here's what they said.
It's not all about me, and then it's about other people, and you need to love.
They always teach me homework.
They've taught me a lot of math, a lot of Spanish.
They taught me how to read and write.
They've taught me to never run away at Disneyland.
No,
say bad words.
Like if my brother gets mad at me, I shouldn't get mad at him again back.
Do not talk to strangers.
To be kind. And you won't. And if you don't be kind, you don't get any friends.
God's love never stops.
Don't copy the behaviors of this world.
Try to be teachable.
My mom teaches me how to hula hoop.
Hula hoop.
Even if it's hard to tell the truth, that you should always do it.
Manners?
Well, my dad always says manners make the man.
They taught me a lesson about God.
That family never gives up, and that family is always there. You can always count on them to be there for you.
Even when you go through hard times, always trust in God, and because he'll help you get through it.
Now, what do we really learn from our families? Well, there's some things, if you don't learn them in your family, you're never going to learn them. You can't learn them at school. You can't learn them at work. You only can learn them in your family. And I will tell you this. Most of your problems as an adult comes from the fact that you didn't learn certain things correctly as a child. And if you didn't learn certain skills as a child, then you're going to have a rough life the rest of your life. There are five things you must learn in your family. And if you don't learn them there, life's going to be tough for you. You might write these down. The first one is, the first thing we have to learn is what to do with feelings. One of the most important skills in life. How do I handle my emotions? What do I do with them? How do I deal with how I feel? What do you do with feelings? And in a good, awesome family, you learn how to recognize your feelings, how to name your feelings, how to own up to your feelings, how to identify your feelings, how to express your feelings correctly rather than incorrectly, how not to stuff them, and how to deal with how you feel. If you don't learn how to deal with how you feel in your family, you go through life an emotional cripple. You have to relearn it somewhere else. And the reason why so many marriages split up is because they didn't learn in their family how to deal with how you feel correctly and effectively. And you need to let people be honest and let kids express their emotions. One of the stupidest things a parent can say is, stop crying, don't cry, don't cry. Why? Crying, there's nothing wrong with crying. Tears are a gift from God. If you're telling your kids, stuff your emotions, stuff your emotions, stuff your emotions, they're gonna have problems with their emotions the rest of their life. There's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing to be ashamed of with crying. And telling your kids stop crying is saying, deny your emotions, deny how you feel, and you learn to stuff it. And that comes out in all kinds of strange relationship patterns later on. In a true family, in an awesome family, we learn how to recognize that's a good emotion, that's a harmful emotion. And we learn to name it, own it, speak about it, identify it, talk about it. That's a key. So you name them, you don't stuff them.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Here's a letter from Catherine, a listener who says that hearing the truth of the Bible on Daily Hope transformed her life. She wrote me this. She said, Pastor Rick, a few months ago, I was angry all the time about everything. My husband was drinking too much, and my marriage was headed for divorce. Years ago, I'd forgotten about my faith, but one day, on my long drive home from work, I changed the station from my angry music, and I found you speaking on Daily Hope on the radio. You know, it was as if, through you, Jesus said, oh, you're finally listening, and I have something to tell you. Well, your message spoke directly to me, to my problems, and to my many failures, and you spoke some hard truths, Pastor Rick, that I needed to hear. About the things that I was doing wrong and the things that I wasn't doing at all. But it made me look at myself, and I realized that I had forgotten about Jesus. And I was making myself miserable, trying to do everything on my own. I wasn't trusting in God or seeking God or even a relationship with Jesus. But a few days later, after a lot of inward reflection, I shared your words with my husband. You know what? We're now both reading our Bibles again. We're going to church again. We're mending our relationship with each other and with Christ, our Savior. And it is your Daily Hope program
that changed our lives and the direction of our lives. Now I'm listening to you on my way home from work every day. So thanks for allowing yourself to be a vessel through which God can work to restore lives and marriages. I was hopeless, but now I'm full of hope and full of joy through my faith in Jesus. So God bless you, Rick, for bringing me back to God. Friends, you may have heard me say this before, that I am addicted to changing lives. I am passionate about watching God at work in your life and giving people hope when everything else seems hopeless. It's why we do what we do. Catherine and her husband have now mended their relationship, and they're both reading their Bibles. That is incredible news. The family that prays together stays together. None of this, by the way, would be possible without your support of Daily Hope. It is your gifts, your financial gifts, and your prayers that allow me to teach millions of people every day all around the world about the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you just heard, people are being saved, lives are being changed, marriages are being restored, people are finding hope. Why? Because of you and your financial gifts and your prayers. So thank you, everybody, for your caring about others and their relationship with God. And if you can send a gift today, please do so. We want to reach more and more people with the hope of God's Word.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.